We are back with more of Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. We are celebrating our 55th birthday today, and we are looking quite good, if I do say so myself. WUWM went on the air on this day in 1964, and before the break, we talked with Dr. Rue Hill, the station's first general manager and the man charged with actually creating the station and getting it on the air. We'll fast forward a few decades now. Our next guest will be a familiar voice to anyone who listened to WUWM from the early 90s until just a few years ago. During his 24 years with us, Bob Bach reported on the news, hosted the precursor of Lake Effect, and finished up his career as our local morning edition host and anchor, and he joins me now. Hey, Bob Bach, how are you?
I'm good.
I know. It's so great to see you.
Good to see
you.
And
it has
too,
been
Bonnie.
A very long time since we have sat across the desk from each other.
It's going on 5 years since
I
retired. I find that hard to believe.
I do too, because it feels like it was just yesterday that you and I were on Morning Edition together.
Well, that's right.
Raising money.
Yeah, that's right. And we were good at that.
We were.
It was an enjoyable form of radio because it represented a type of communication, really, that it breaks you out of the mold that we often function in. So I came to really enjoy the challenge of doing that, and it was particularly enjoyable to do it with you because of your effervescence.
And my enthusiasm.
That's right.
Yes, my willingness to go where no one else would go.
That's true.
So you're here to talk with us about, well, we're celebrating 55 years of Milwaukee Public Radio, Milwaukee's NPR, WUWM, and you were an integral part of a lot of those years. And so I kind of wanted to get an idea of how the news landscape has changed or did change in the time that you were working here, you know, what changed at WUWM. So I guess we should start with, when did you first start working?
Well, here in 1991. In some ways, there has not been a change in terms of how content is presented. It's still a long-form style of journalism, or what we would refer to as long-form. That is to say, it's longer than 45 seconds, and it's shorter than 6 minutes. So there's, you know, your story's going 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. In those early years, we did more documentaries, which might run 30 minutes. We did not have a Lake Effect show or its predecessor at 10, so there was no public affairs interview program. So some of these longer form presentations of information was done via multi-part series, mini documentary that might be 15 minutes, and then the 30-minute documentary on various subjects.
And so were those put into the morning show, or were they spread out throughout the day?
They would be both. They would be put in during the morning hours and then rerun oftentimes in the afternoon or on weekends. So they'd get 2 or 3 airings and really get some mileage. Now, interestingly, back then, this is almost impossible to believe, but there was no internet. So stories that aired basically went into the ether and disappeared. If you wanted to hear it again, you needed to buy a cassette copy of this thing. And there were no written transcriptions. So the internet has changed so much of how we distribute information, store information, make it available worldwide, that it's almost inconceivable to think of a time when it did not exist in terms of how much is out there and available to all of us, really.
Well, and when you started at WUWM, everything was on tape.
Right.
There was no digital.
No. It was actually a magnetic tape, quarter-inch wide, and it took quite a degree of skill to physically cut the tape and remove the piece that you did not want in there, whether it was someone clearing their throat or pausing for whatever it might be, and then joining the two pieces together so that you would have a coherent and efficient interview that was listenable without some of these other elements that would make it kind of uncomfortable to hear. But there was a skill in being able to cut tape and splice it together so it didn't make funny little noises whenever the splice would run over the playback head of the machine. Now, with electronic editing and computerized editing, that skill to be able to edit, physically edit tape, whether it was audio or video or both, is it's a wonderful memory. and it's absolutely useless.
Right. I mean, those of us who are old enough to remember the blocks and the razor blades
right.
and the tape that you had to, and then you're trying to do it, and if you messed it up, you messed it up.
That's right.
There was no going back and undoing.
No, no. And say, oddly enough, if you put a piece of magnetic tape in upside down or backwards, whichever way you want to look at it, you mix it up, it comes out the English language spoken in reverse sounds much like Russian. So you would certainly end up with a piece of tape and go, what did I do? I need to have that 15 seconds of this person, and you couldn't find it. Those nightmares are fortunately a thing of the past.
What was the first job you did at WUWM?
Well, I was a news reporter, or news producer, as we called them then. I also did a Saturday morning segment where I would take stories from the previous week, and for 1 hour we would replay those segments between 6 and 7, and that until morning edition began at or weekend edition at 7 o'clock. So I basically anchored a Saturday morning show, such as it was, acting as the kind of continuity person to do the weather forecasts and string together other pertinent information for, I think it was a 6-hour shift. So that combined with the reporting was really a fascinating experience. I came up in radio as a disc jockey initially, which, again, a thing of the past. That was in 1975 in Merrill, Wisconsin, and then came to Milwaukee as a news and sports reporter at WISN Radio, and then came over here after 2 years at Channel 18 as a sports reporter. So the news reporting that I encountered here was different from the standpoint that it was not just wham, bam, 30 seconds. It was longer form material that required additional voices, additional thoughts being placed into the story, opinions, whatever it might be. And really was a fascinating learn on the job kind of situation that I really enjoyed.
When did you feel that you had kind of conquered that form, that longer form? How many years did it take you to feel comfortable there?
Probably about 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Fortunately, by the mid-90s, I was developing a sense of not only what stories really need to be told in terms of news and information, but also what stories would work on the air and the way in which they would work. You're not going to satisfy every story with a 30-minute documentary. In fact, you're going to bore the heck out of the audience. So sometimes the 3-minute story is the way to go. Sometimes it's a minute and a half. Other times you're in that 4 to 5 minute range. So that really required some learning and some finesse. And once that began to fall into place, it just seemed like the whole landscape of ideas opened up because there were so many possibilities, including environmental reporting, which became a complete fascination of mine and in some ways changed my life early on. And certain other stories that I just had a yearning to tell and was able to.
At some point in your career at WUWM, you were sitting on this side of the table. It was at 10 at that point.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what was that like to shift from doing the kind of news stories you just described to doing a longer form interview?
Well, in some ways it was easier because it was easier to do interviews than it was to do long form stories because you didn't have the same element of compression. In other words, if you're doing a story that lasts 4 minutes, let's say, and you're going to have, generally speaking, 6 voices in there, and you may have 2 or maybe even 3 scenes, so the places where you're going to take the listener. There's an enormous amount of work that has to go into the presentation of those 4 minutes so that you captivate the audience sufficiently to get them to pay attention to the information that you believe and have deemed as important for them to hear. In many ways, it's like lifting weights with your brain. You really have to be on your toes there's not a second that's not important. And so that kind of pressure after a time can wear you out. Now, in the long form interview, let's say you're going to go 10, 12, 15 minute interview, you need to ask your best questions up front. Don't kind of fiddle around and, well, let's just warm up a little bit and I'll lob you a few. No, let's get right into it. And the mission, I thought, depending on the guest, of course, every guest is not going to address a hard news subject. But those that are need to be challenged. The facts that they're going to use need to be questioned. And so therefore, you as the interviewer need to really know your stuff so that you'll be able to decipher when you're hearing something that you don't believe is accurate, and you'll be able to challenge this individual in a constructive way, not to create a kind of a combat situation or confrontation. No, that's not the idea. The idea is let's get to the truth and stay there and present as much information as we can in the allotted time, and that'll be a service to our listeners. We're not going to waste anybody's time. Now, if the interview is about a softer subject, here too, what background can you learn about the subject and the person, if it's an artist, for instance, as you would well know, that is going to make this interview the most enjoyable for the listeners? So it depends. Both the long-form interview and the tightly edited and written stories have unique challenges. I would say I found writing in that four-minute window to be more challenging than doing the long-form interview.
The toughest right. thing, to keep the story arc, right. as you say, compressed.
Exactly.
You know, and still informative and right. still engaging.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a key word.
Yeah. Yeah, because otherwise, if nobody's listening to it, then why have you done
mm-hmm.
it? Yeah.
That's right. Very true.
So in the time, how many years was it, 25?
Just 24,
about, yep. Yeah. How did the news landscape change or did it in Milwaukee?
Oh, it changed radically. I think the corporatization of radio that took place, AM radio in the late 1980s with Cumulus and some of the other mega companies that began to buy stations, found, in my opinion, that it was far less expensive to provide confrontational talk between a host and listeners with a call scanner than it was to have a full-blown news department. There was just simply a better profit potential in downsizing news departments and allowing the public to have this open forum, if you will. And the thing that coincided with that, as best as I can tell, was the rescission of the Fairness Doctrine, which happened in the late 1980s. Now, the Fairness Doctrine required two things. One, that any person who would be spoken of, particularly in a negative fashion, would have an equal opportunity or equal time to respond to these accusations that were being made by another. And the other component of the Fairness Doctrine was that a radio station needed to provide a certain quality of content that was in the public interest. And this was a requirement of its license. Well, through a variety of circumstances, the greatest of which pivoted on the First Amendment, the Fairness Doctrine was done away with and seen as unnecessary and a hindrance to broadcasting. And so once it was removed, well, it was kind of open season on raw opinion that would go unchallenged. And the potential for individuals to be accused or lambasted or whatever the case may
slandered.
Be. Slandered. Yeah.
Yeah.
With no real opportunity to respond. So corporatization of radio, especially on the AM band, the proliferation of music on the FM band, thereby taking away what for many years had been one of the features of AM radio, which was music, and the Fairness Doctrine elimination, those put together changed not only the local landscape of news reporting on local radio, but also nationally.
And it seems like that was about the time that public radio really exploded because it filled that niche.
Oh, yes.
That had been eliminated by those things because people still wanted fair and accurate reporting.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And to this day, public radio and WUWM in particular it's a beacon. And I mean, if you have a yearning to hear the real deal, this is where you want to listen. Of course, there are other sources too, but they primarily are related in some fashion to public broadcasting. I don't see a lot of high quality journalism that's coming out of private broadcast or for-profit broadcast operations. certainly not to the degree when you compare it with the WUWM or others. And there are others right here in Milwaukee and in the state of Wisconsin, for that matter. And they all provide just a remarkable service that can't be taken for granted. Thank goodness public radio exists. And thank goodness that we do have somewhere where we can tune every single day to get a dose of sanity and to get a dose of accuracy and objectivity. Because especially now, these things are absolute requirements to good mental health.
Do you miss producing at all?
I do.
Yeah.
I miss producing stories. I don't miss the pressure that there was. The deadline pressure was very difficult to live up to, I would say, the last couple of years that I was working. I can tell you this, I think maybe the greatest fear that I had in producing, let's just call it a hard news story that would run between 3 and 5 minutes, was answering this question. Does this story end where it really should have begun? That was just a nightmare. In other words, have I just taken 4 minutes of a listener's time and told them stuff they already know? Whereas if I'd have started the story at this 4 minute mark, then I would have gone into areas that perhaps weren't as well known or would have been a lot more useful. So this is something that you dealt with every day, is trying to answer that question. Did this story just end where it should have started?
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
Every interview, everything is like, did we get the important
right.
things out of there, or did we just do the easy questions?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, Bob Bach, I miss you.
I miss you too, Bonnie. I really do.
This has been so great to be able to catch up with you and to celebrate 55 years of good public service with WUWM.
Absolutely.
And I hope you'll think about in your retirement, if you feel like you've got some writing chops left and you want to do a commentary or two for us, that you'll consider that.
I certainly will.
All right.
Thanks for inviting me.
Bob Bach worked in WUWM's newsroom from 1991 to 2015. In those 24 years, he reported, hosted an earlier version of Lake Effect called At 10, and was our morning edition host until he retired.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.